Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 30th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders, inspired by the Almighty, absolutely brilliant, and the solution to our problems. Revolution, not the answer. Restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth is the answer. Welcome to the broadcast, Kirk Cosby.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. A gentleman by the name of Art, living off the grid, wants to chime in. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir. You there, Art? All right, we'll have to get Art back, Kurt.
Art is sounding rather soft-spoken today. I would say he needs to turn up his volume just a little bit, you know, because we're just having difficulty hearing him.
All right, there he is. Hi, Art.
Sam, we were.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Marvelous.
Thank you, sir.
Just to kind of touch on a couple things here, you know, this, first of all, I'm not buying that this lady, you know, I mean, come on, you're walking around in a public area with all this climbing gear.
It's nuts, man.
And nobody notices you, really? And, of course, now, you asked about the tase, you know, and she doesn't get tased. Well, of course, they're not going to tase her while she's up on the flagpole, because then they can say, well, you tased her, she fell and got seriously hurt, or you could have endangered her life or whatever.
I'm surprised they didn't just shoot her, though, Art.
But then that would have been a case of blacks or cops oppressing the black folk and Black Lives Matter, don't you?
Well, how do we know it wasn't a black cop, man?
Well, I don't know. but, I'm not buying it. Because as soon as her feet hit the ground, because I guarantee you, if that had been me, as soon as my feet hit the ground, I'd have had like three cops piled on.
Well, and that's my whole point, that if you buy that she ran around in climbing gear and no one noticed, then that she got on the flagpole and they ignored her till she got down, and then that they just let her go, like, get on her email, dude. It's like crazy.
That's poppycock. But, you know, here's something that really caught my attention this morning, and this is what I really wanted to bring up. You know, the Confederate flag, think about this. In South Carolina, there was the big stink, so they agreed, okay, we'll take it down off of the Capitol building, and we'll move it over here to, I guess, maybe a more appropriate spot.
Like the museum, they claim. But I submit the whole thing is a museum anyway.
Right. So, you know, so they move it to the museum. Oh, that's not good enough. Now they want to get rid of it. This is ridiculous. And this is how they play this. This is called incrementalism. And if they get you to give on one, they're going to push it for the next thing. If they get you to give on that, they're going to push it for someone, for something else. It's just like with guns. If they get you to give on one aspect of your Second Amendment, they're going to go for something else. And a perfect example is like what's happening over there in the UK right now. They have a gun ban in the UK. Knife murders are now going through the roof. So now they save a life, surrender your knife.
Yeah, that's right.
Really? I mean, here's the ridiculousness of this. You want to talk about killing people with guns or killing people with knives? What, you know, you want to ban anything? And I saw an interview with some clown at a liberal rally where the guy was talking about, he was actually asked, well, anything that could be a danger to another person, should it be banned? And the guy says, yeah. I'm thinking, all right, I'm ex-military, okay? I'm really well-trained for what I do. I was Scout Recon. Scout Recon ranks up there with Delta, with the Rangers, with the Navy SEALs, with the what they used to call the tunnel rats in Vietnam. Scout Recon is not a joke. Scout Recon is another one of those units that are highly trained. Of course, they're pretty much outdated today, but this is going back like in the 80s and whatnot. All right? I can walk into your house and I can show you where 80% of everything in your house can be used as a lethal weapon to take another man's life. Are we going to walk through everybody's house and remove everything that I can identify as a possible weapon? This is how ridiculous this is. You're going to, somebody got beat to death with a baseball bat. We're going to start banning baseball bats? This is ridiculous.
That's where they're going, my friend.
They don't want you to be able to defend yourself, period. And also, just for if everybody wants a real quick, again, how stupid people are. Look on YouTube. There's a video. It's Mark Dice. And I know a lot of people don't like Mark Dice. He's not one of my favorite people.
I like him. You know, hold on. I like him only because he has the guts to go on the street and expose the truth in a funny way.
Right.
I give him credit, sir.
And that's why I refer people to his videos, because he's showing us just how stupid people are. But he's got a video out there, and Intel Hub is not one of my favorite websites, but every once in a while they have something that catches my attention. And I'm come across, you know, I was doing some research the other day into this whole argument about the Confederate flag, and I stumbled across citizens signed petition to ban the current American flag, issue new design with rainbow and all-seeing eye. Now, this was a mock petition, but this shows you how stupid people are.
And well, you're right.
As I'm watching this video, I'm thinking back to the last Democratic convention at the last presidential primary, when people were asked, how does it feel to belong to the government? And everybody was like, oh, it gives me this warm feeling inside to know I belong to the government, and we are all just one.
Oh, yeah, a chill goes up my leg, Art. All right, buddy, we appreciate the call. Anything else?
That's it, man.
Thank you, sir. All right, what do you think, Kurt? He's got a valid point or three.
Well, that's a great, it's really true, Sam. I mean, the bottom line is, hey, if it fits the narrative, you know, then we go ahead and allow it.
Hey, Kurt, I saved a life the other day.
You saved a life?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Don't you remember I surrendered my knife?
Oh, that's right. Save a life, surrender your knife.
I did. The TSA took my knife, man. Kurt Crosby washed it and everything.
You were grateful for that.
All right. Yeah, man. Murder's spiking. Save a life, surrender your knife, buddy.
Yeah.
Bad people won't kill you if you don't have your knife. I'm just telling you.
If you just put a little sign up and say, hey,
I don't have a knife.
I'm clean, you know. I don't have a knife. I don't have a gun, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the solution. Yeah, right. You're the target. You're the victim.
Now, Kurt, in the modern era of attacks against the cops, now, I don't defend the cops all the time, Kurt, but I do want to appropriately say we do have an appropriate need for the police in our society, okay? Now, I get that many of them are too hardcore. They need to learn de-escalation tactics. They need to do all kind of things. I get that, okay? But there's a headline in the mainstream press that I saw that just shocked me.
Okay. You know, Sam, before you go hour we were talking about that, the Tea Party.
That was last hour.
And
Kurt.
I just wanted to give a little, I guess you could say footnote on it.
All right.
I thought it was so interesting that the, the headline from ABC News was Watchdog Blames IRS Incompetence for Lost Tea Party Emails. And, you know, one of the toughest guys in Congress, your representative and mine, Representative Jason Chaffetz, by the way, his mother, I think, was, lady from New Jersey or somewhere back there, but Dukakis, yeah. But anyway, you know, he's a tough Republican.
Wait, what are you saying about Dukakis now? You lost
he's
the lady
chairman.
In Virginia and Dukakis
well, he,
and Chaffetz's
he was
mom.
The
what are you talking about?
Daughter of... the son of this Dukakis lady when she was in a previous relationship.
Oh,
but now he's the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
It just proves that if you got convictions, buddy, you get elected.
Well, anyway, he said somebody has to be held accountable. Now, I thought, now we know something's really going to get done because Mr. Jason Chaffetz has said that now, Sam. And, you know, the House, a guy like that.
Why don't you get on the horn with old Jason and let me know how it goes, buddy? Keep an update on it.
I think
he can report in to
Liberty Roundtable. He's talking about it, and it'll really get done.
I think he'll just be like that. Oh, man, we're going to have accountability. Somebody's got to answer for it. And then he'll be like, next. and never hear about it again.
That's exactly right. All right. Anyway, back to your story. Sorry about
that. All right, so I was telling you about the cops, and I was telling you how I don't always side with the cops. When they use too much force, I reject it. When they violate constitutional rights, I reject them. But I want to be fair and balanced in that, you know what, when we do need police in our society, and I'm telling you, if we didn't have police in many cities, that'd be absolute disaster zones. But I saw this mainstream press headline that just shocked me how ignorant they are. It reminds me of a bunch of girls going to a frat party and getting all drunk and waking up and going, hey, somebody sexually violated me. I don't know what's going on around here. Now, I'm not saying they deserve that. I'm just saying you wonder, how are they so shocked when that happens? I'll tell you the story in a second.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about the cops. And I want to make this very clear. I try to be as fair as I can when it comes to reporting on the cops. When they do something wrong, I try to hold them accountable based on principle. On the other hand, when they do what's right, I want to defend them. I think a lot of times the Patriots are way too hard on the cops in the sense that, hey, we want to act like everything that the cops do that has force involved is wrong. And oftentimes I submit to you that we don't know the details of what we're even talking about. And a lot of times it may be justified. Nevertheless, the headline says this for the mainstream press. Police agencies are having a harder time hiring and retaining officers. Dateline Sunset, Utah, a small police department, resources are sometimes stretched thin. But Chief Ken Eborn says times are really tough now because his 8-officer department, well, dropped down to 6. We have had a handful of applicants drop out of that process when they found out what our starting wage was, Kurt. And they say, I'd like to come work there, Kurt, but I can't be a cop and work there for $16 an hour. Eborn shared his concerns with the Sunset City Council in a recent meeting, stating that we need to get more competitive at salaries because neighboring cities like Roy, Utah, Clearfield, and Clinton pay usually $2 to $3 more per hour. So, you know, $18-19 an hour. The size of the city doesn't mean that it's any less dangerous, he says. It does not mean that it's any less important, and if we're expecting our officers to do a good job, we can't expect them to do it for so much less money. Mayor Beverly McFarland says she's been fielding numerous calls from residents saying, hey, you got to pay the cops better. Last year, they say we were voted the safest city in Utah, but that's not going to happen if we can't retain good police officers. And she believes that the cities can gradually increase the starting salary for cops and then slowly but surely over time ratchet that number up so that they have a parity with other cities. So I find several things fascinating here, Kurt. Police agencies say the reason they're having a hard time retaining cops is because they don't pay enough money. Now, I'm not sure that I believe that's really the case. I think the reason you're having a hard time attracting qualified police department officers is because, hey, society doesn't respect the police. And I agree, I'll be the first to agree, that a lot of times the cops have deserved the bad rap they get. They've been known as hanging out, eating donuts. They've been acting like they need to generate revenue for a long time and trying to create traps for the citizens. They've been going undercover and acting as provocateurs. They've been using, you know, search and seizures to steal your property. They've been playing games with eminent domain. They've been doing all kind of things, and now the cops are paying for their abuse of the law. I get that. But at the same time, Kurt, if you were to pull police agencies out of some of these cities, you would have absolute mayhem. And so, you know, what do you think about, would you be a cop and put your life on the line for $16 an hour, Kurt?
Well, one question I have for you. Didn't the mayor say that last year they were voted the safest city? Now, what was the payment to police officers last year? Was it way high last year when it was really
No, $16 an hour, sir. That's my point.
So as far as I can tell, you know, those people are doing just fine, and they don't need to fall for this idea that this is what typically happens, especially in government circles. What they do is, it's kind of a vicious circle, and the taxpayer is the one that gets eaten, is they point to somebody who raised the wages, you know, wherever they are, and they say, well, those guys, you know, they're paying more over there. And if we don't hurry them, I mean, we're basically going to lose all our, you know, I mean, there won't be a soul working here. And thus, we've got to go up. And
that's what they say, sir.
Is it just, it just is a vicious circle.
But you're right about that. And let me go back to this question that I asked you. Would you put your life on the line for $16 an hour, Kurt?
Well, here's the point.
No, I want to know the answer.
My opinion. Well,
just stick with me.
I put my life on the line for free now, Sam. I mean,
what?
At least, yeah. In other words, I would do that to protect my children, my wife, any individual.
What about a fellow citizen, a neighbor, sir?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Any individual that needed help, I would do.
I agree with you 1,000%. So here's the point. Money's not the answer here, Kurt. You have teachers who teach for hardly any money. You have talk radio hosts get on the radio for hardly any money. Okay, if your passion calls you, you believe that you got a calling or a purpose to do something, you do it, and the money's not really the issue, Kurt. Now, I also submit to you that if you're not going to put your life on the line for $16 now, you're sure not going to do it for $17 or 18 or 19. You're just not willing to do it. I don't think you're going to be like, oh, man, I'm not willing to die for $16 an hour, but you make that sucker 19, I'm ready to go. Think they're going to do that, Kurt?
Well,
I got the next question
exactly,
for you.
That's exactly what they want you to think.
Yeah, but it's a lie.
You've got to just pay enough, and then you'll really get some good people.
It's bogus.
But
now, let me ask you another question.
The bottom line is, yeah.
Would you rather work in a safer city for $16 an hour or a less safe city for 18, just say?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, let's say you got your choice of East L.A. or you've got, Sunset, Utah, right?
Yeah, that's my whole point is that, look, if it's the safest city like she claims, hey, I'm almost ready to go there for a dollar or two less an hour because, hey, the likelihood of me coming home to my lovely wife and my children is a lot greater, and I don't really give a rip about a dollar or two, okay? I just don't care.
Yep.
Okay, if I'm a police officer, that's really the case, isn't it?
They're not putting in this picture, Sam. I'll bet you, one of my big bets, my nickel, and that is they're not throwing in, what about all the fringe benefits that come from working for the government?
Don't do that, Kurt. You're going to lose.
I mean,
there's
like
more benefits in
the
other places, too, Kurt.
But the bottom line is they're not really saying the real cost of it.
You're right about that.
They're really not saying that stuff,
Well, and you can do a lot of different things, in my opinion, to benefit a police officer that maybe only gets $16 an hour or whatever. You could give them a little bit more time off. You could have maybe the best police chief or sheriff to work for. But here's my question to the city, and this is the reason that I bring it up. One, I don't think the money's the issue at all. Why don't we just get rid of the city police so that Sunset City doesn't need to worry about it, Kurt, and just leave the county to take care of it?
Imagine that. You mean a county sheriff that's elected by the people?
Roger that, sir.
And, he employs individuals who he feels like would be good.
That's what I'm saying.
As the people have employed him.
Now, the question is, how much do the county pay,
kind of
Kurt?
Idea.
And all you got to do is get rid of these low-paid city police dudes and let the county take over. Now, instantly, they'd probably get a raise and be a little more constitutional at the same time. Sir.
Well, and, maybe they would have them, cover some more work. And sure, they might get paid a little bit more, but then they might, be a little more efficient. You know what I mean, Sam?
Yes, sir. All right. Anyway, I just found that interesting because they act like a couple of dollars makes really the difference. And they act like, man, no one would work in this, safest city in the whole state. I mean, I don't know why you'd ever do that. They don't make any sense, Kurt. And the truth is, the reason I think cops don't want to be cops now is because, hey, people don't like the cops. And the reason people don't like the cops is because the cops have been part of the crime syndicate for a long time. They've been running around trying to entrap citizens and, it used to be to where when I was a kid, you'd say, hey, if you need help, son, go to the cops. They'll help you. They'll get back with your parents or do whatever needs to be. Nowadays, you tell your kid, don't you dare engage with the cops. They'll probably kill you. Now, I'm not saying that I teach my kids that, but I am making a point that that's become the sad to say viewpoint of Americans today because the cops have abused their authority for so long. That's why cops are deciding they may not want to be cops. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds. Condoms in the news.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We got to go across the pond for this piece, but nevertheless, it just shows what's going on in the world. Ilford, United Kingdom. Dateline CBS Atlanta. Three students from London. I guess that they're helping to create what they call a cleaner sexual environment. Yeah. They're creating what will be known as the smart condom. And this smart condom, I guess, Kurt, could possibly revolutionize how people could detect if they have a sexually transmitted disease without getting tested. We wanted to make something that makes detection harmful sexually transmitted diseases without the invasive procedures of the doctors, they say. The condoms, Kurt, glow a different color in the dark if an STD is detected. And they say green may indicate chlamydia, yellow for herpes, and purple for human papilloma virus, or blue for syphilis. And they say this condom creation earned the teens the top innovation prize at the Team Tech Awards. Now, the condom's not available yet. It's just a concept for now, but it's a coming, they say. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says ways to help with sexually transmitted diseases are through condoms. Now, they then say it's also good to reduce the number of sex partners, abstinence, mutual monogamy, or vaccinations. Now, I appreciate all this, Kurt. Except for teens aren't supposed to be involved sexually anyway. It's against the law, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, I mean, you know, bring that part out. You know,
secondly, you know, if children are taught...
This is a smart condom, Sam, you know, and I mean, those are certainly...
Dumb smart, people creating smart condoms.
Yeah.
That's what you got going on here. Look, God's law says you shouldn't be involved sexually until you're married. And then a husband and a wife should be involved only with the person they're married to sexually. And it's ordained of God, and it's a blessing when engaged in that guideline or set, you know, in that plan set forth by God. Anything else, Kurt, is trouble. And so you know, teens create smart condoms. I would say dumb teens create smart condoms and pretend they can violate the commandments of God with impunity. It isn't true. All right,
yeah,
Rand
and
Paul.
And the guys at Buckingham Palace, you know, gave them some money and a trip. You know, rather than telling them, hey, just what you told them, they hand out some cash. Now, I guess you could say it's kind of an interesting science thing. You know, they say that they wanted to make this a safer way to, you know, detect things. I suppose the cost on these condoms will be a little bit more. And, you know, they also, as far as I can tell, are basically doing a, you know, a scientific or a lab kind of work on,
I guess
you could say, on the scene.
Now, I don't want to go on the scene anyway, with this. I don't even want to be a fly on the wall. But all I'm telling you is this. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible for a husband and wife who are completely monogamous to, for somebody to never end up with a sexually transmitted disease. There's been weird ways that it can happen through blood transfusions, through contact with something, or, you know, I'm not saying it can never happen, but it's so rare, Kurt, it's not even a discussion point if you keep the commandments of God. Okay, any other proposal they have is a crapshoot at best. And so we really need to teach and educate towards the real solution to solve the problem, Kurt, and that is abstinence until marriage, monogamy within marriage, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like when we have these guys say, man, I'll tell you what, this bogus money, well, they don't say it like this, but they say this money system we got is breaking down, and the Greece guys are going to go down, and, you know, we might be having the whole Euro thing fail, and we tell them, well, you need to restore, you know, honest money, and they say, okay, tell us something else, you know. We
don't, well, they say that's a that, great idea, right? Kurt, but we're in a panic situation.
Yeah.
We'll have to revisit that discussion after we get out of the panic, yeah, you know.
In a 100 or 2 years, you know,
yeah,
something like that.
Now, Rand Paul's right in the news. He says flat out, quote, shut down government's marriage racket. And the story goes on and says the Supreme's ruling prompts plunge in respect from responsible Americans. What do you say?
Well, it does talk about, I like that in this WorldNet Daily piece, they're given some quotes from different folks. For example, our buddy Matt Staver at Liberty Council, they quote him and said, you know, he said, this ruling by the five lawyers is no law at all. He says it's lawless and it must be treated as such. You know, it sounds almost like Daniel in the Bible, doesn't he, Sam? They say that, I guess, Chief Justice John Roberts, he pointed out that the Constitution doesn't refer to marriage, yet then his words are, the, quote, five lawyers decided that it included a specific right to same-sex marriage. Then Roberts asks, just who do we think we are, end quote. But, you know, at least Rand Paul's idea of basically saying, hey, get the government out of, you know, marriage. Well, it isn't a new one, is it, Sam? I mean, it's something that we've been talking about for a long time. You know, I guess he went on to say that some rights, Rand Paul said, some rights are more equal than others, and he suggested perhaps the time has come to examine whether or not government recognition of marriage is a good idea for either party, sticking to the whole party thing. But then he says, since government has been involved in marriage, they have done what they always do, taxed it, regulated it, and now redefined it. It's hard to argue that government's involvement in marriage has made it better, a fact also not surprising to those who believe government does little right, he said. Wow.
And I agree with the general premise of Rand Paul that we don't really need government and marriage at all, Kurt. Part of the problem with this discussion, though, comes down to, you know, the constitutionally speaking, the feds do have an opportunity to conduct a census every 10 years. That is constitutional. And so do you just need to know how many people are in how many households? Do you need to know who's married or not? Or what do you need? You know, is there, if you just have people get hooked up and they're not really married, is there any way to determine if they're married or not? And et cetera. How do you need to handle all that? Or what do you say, Kurt?
Well, how was it done, Sam? You know, in
well, through the history of the world, it was done differently. Through the 1800s, yeah. Marriage changed drastically. See, marriage usually, Kurt, back in the beginning, the first marriage was an arranged marriage by God, okay? So if you want to start, that's where you start.
Yep.
Okay? Secondly, God did note that they were married because he married them. I don't think they had a government involved at all, Kurt.
Don't think they had a paper or anything or, right. You know, done by the court.
Right. Now, through the history of the world, primarily there's been, you know, different kinds of marriages. There's been arranged marriages. There's been marriages for love. In other words, you pick your spouse based on somebody you're attracted to that you love, etc. And then there's been arrangements of marriage due to necessity. In other words, hey, I'm a woman. I can't be alone. I need protection. And a man says, yeah, and I need someone to help me with the other side of life while I'm out making a living, to take care of children, to cook, to clean house, to do all those kind of things. And so we'll form a partnership out of necessity. And then, you know what? If we're kind and appropriate to one another, we may fall in love. We may not, but we'll at least have the things that we need. And so there's different reasons marriage happened. And based on those different realities, kind of chronicles the history of marriage, in my humble opinion. Now, in the 1800s, back in like 1880 or 90, I think it was, the government decided, hey, we're going to be involved here. Because you can't be having black people get married to white people, Kurt. I mean, what on earth is going on if that happens? You can't have a non-person marry a person. And so basically the government increasing involved in marriage had to do with, at first, the government being the biggest racist dog on the block, Kurt. And it just went downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's a very summarized history of marriage, but that ought to get your arms around the reality. And governments have been increasingly involved in marriage ever since. It used to be that you'd get married and you'd make a note in your Bible, Kurt, and then you might let the county know for the census purpose. Because if you're going to talk about children, you want to know if those children are in a marriage, in wedlock or not. And at first you could say, well, the government doesn't need to know that. And you may be right. However, the question is, how do you decide whose children are whose children? If Kurt and his wife are battling about who gets the children, just say, and a government doesn't know that they were married, they could say, well, they're not even your children, Kurt. Your wife says that she had them with another man or whatever, and therefore, that, so is there an order that should take place here? Should government be involved at all? It gets sticky quickly. I've got an answer. Do you? We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. You are listening to your favorite hard-hitting, you got to think about it talk show, huh?
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Rand Paul wisely says, shut down the government's marriage racket. Most folks are losing confidence in the Supreme Court. Matthew Staver, lead attorney for the he's the chief attorney for Liberty Counsel. He says, hey, this ruling by the five lawyers is no law at all. I agree with them on that, ladies and gentlemen. But the question is, does the government have any role in marriage at all? Should we just get the government completely out of marriage? And the debate then comes down to, you know, how do you conduct the census? Do you need to, if you're at the courts and something goes wrong between husband and wife, is there any easy way to get a handle on it? What if there's no marriage record at all? Does a man just lose the right to his children? Because the court says, hey, the woman decides this. We know it's her, but do you got to force DNA tests on everybody? Where do you go in the complicated world of this? And the reality is when people violate the commandments of God, God's plan doesn't work out well. Not because God's plan doesn't work well, but because people violate it, and therefore they bring on all these complications. If men never left their women, and only a man and a woman got together and had complete fidelity to each other, then you wouldn't be debating whose kids are whose. You wouldn't be, okay, so 90% of the problems we discuss relate to immorality and the violations of the laws of God. Now, whether you're married for love, whether you're married for convenience or necessity or arrangement, whatever, what's the appropriate response? And I submit to you the answer is marriage should be a local issue, county by county. And the county, you can record at the county that you're married. And you can get a certificate still so that there's some law and order, so to speak, so that men can have claim on their children. And you can put it in the Bible. And you know what? We don't really need any more than that. The government can check the county records against what people tell them to confirm census data. And that's all. Be very simple. I would submit that's how it should go. It'll be at the localest level of government possible, but provide the necessary function for order and stability and record keeping. You know, it's not very good when men are just with women and everybody's leaving everybody. And well, if there's no marriage, there'd be no divorce. And, you know, so I say no marriage is almost worse than what we've got. Because at some point, how do you determine whose children people are? And what if kid says, you're not my mom, you're not my dad, and they're 14, what do you do with them? And so we got all kinds of crisis on our hands when we violate the commandments of God. Kurt, do you have an answer for this? That would be my answer, though. Hey, we might need to keep some kind of a handle on it, record-keeping, if you will. But at the same time, it needs to be as minimal as possible and at the most local level possible. And that's how I would arrange it, Kurt. I think that's how historically it started out being and just continued to get worse or more regulated, more controlled, more manipulated over time.
You know, at least this reminds me a lot of the whole business licensing idea. And that is, they say, well, gosh, if, we just had unregulated businesses, then we would have some unscrupulous businessmen or businesswomen. And therefore, we've got to have the state or the county or whatever regulating this. And I say, well, don't we have unscrupulous businesses and that kind of thing now? Where we have the state regulating things, as far as I can see, Sam, whether we have governments issuing licenses or some kind of a
see now, let me give you an example. I didn't say licenses, though. Well, I would say you could optionally record at the county if you chose to.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, you know, if we have that happening, you know, we're still going to have those instances where somebody says, hey, you know, that's not my dad or that's not my mom or, you know, we're going to have that. But it doesn't seem to me to be the solution to encourage that, I guess you could say, government involvement. The only real solution is what you pointed out, and that is we return to God's laws. We return to do things the way, you know, He wants us to do. We treat each other properly. We, look at marriage and relationships between husbands and wives as sacred, and in the realm of the church.
I would agree with that. Now, ultimately, I think you're correct, Kurt. The question is, what steps do we take to unwind, right?
That's a good
point. What Rand's talking about. That's kind of what I'm talking about. And I'm saying, you know, first off, if we're going to have government involved at all, I'd like to have it at the most local level possible, which is the county. I think that's when America started, where a lot of this stuff was record kept. I don't have a problem with appropriate record keeping. I have a problem with force, and I have a problem with government then using that to regulate and control and tax and divide and et cetera, et cetera. And some people would say, the anarchists would say, hey, we can't have government involved in any of it, period, end of paragraph, end of discussion. They'll ruin it. It's hard for me to disagree with their points, Kurt. But the question is, what steps do we take to unwind this thing and get the feds, which have no constitutional authority for sure, out of the marriage regulating business or the marriage licensing business?
Kind of, or at least it looks like, it reminds me of the, you know, the way we'd have to get out of any of the unconstitutional programs is basically you just let the ones that, you know, come up for renewal, let them expire. Look at each one, each unconstitutional law, and say, hey, you know, this one's got to go now. Here's how we do it. So we gradually return to constitutional government, gradually return to
I agree with that.
Things were.
What do you do when a woman says, hey, this guy made this baby with me, and I want to hold him accountable for child support. He needs to help me raise this kid.
Well, you know, at least in my opinion, the whole child support thing, you know, it goes back to a lot of that would go back again to, hey, the government's involved in, you know, these acts of forced charity where we've got, women getting money from the government or men getting money or anybody getting money from the government. You know, if that were gone and let's say the churches had that role like they used to have that role, then that woman, you know, could go to her local church or her local neighbor or whatever that would have that money that he used to have that has been forcibly extracted from him by the government. Then that individual could perform an act of charity if he sees a real need. You know, it's true that sometimes people don't perform acts of charity as they're supposed to, if you will, but you know, we've got troubles in the system that we've got now, Sam, where
there's no question.
We've got all that. So I just see that each one of those ought to be unraveled back.
So your vote would be to get government completely out of the family entirely, where, hey, if a woman said a man wasn't paying a fair share to take care of the child or whatever, there'd be no government way to force him to do that. That, hey, should just rely on the church and the government would stay out of it. Is that right?
Well, at least I can't see that as being any worse than what we've got now. And I know myself, if I had a neighbor or somebody I knew of that felt, you know, that they needed some help, I'd gladly do what I could to help, especially if I wasn't forced by my government to perform all these other acts of charity, like sending my money around the world to places like Saudi Arabia and everywhere else.
There's no doubt about that. Do you think there is a time when if a man makes a baby with a woman, the man should be held accountable if he leaves her to take care of some of the financial responsibilities? Does government have a role to play in that, do you think?
My problem is, you know, in a limited kind of a slow, very careful area, maybe the sheriff would say, hey, Joe, you know, you know, remember Mary over here? You know, you've got this boy or this girl, and you need to, you know. But my problem is when it gets started, where does it stop? Before you know it, and now we get to the point where, hey, the government's taking over the role
of the
father. And, you know, it just gets so
So the
dangerous.
Question is, where is the fine line? And it's very hard to define. I agree, at the federal level, it's pretty easy to see, because if it's specified in the Constitution, enumerated, then they have authority. And if it's not, they don't. It's pretty clear. On the local level, it becomes a very different matter. And it's very difficult to determine what is constitutional, what is not, what is the proper role of government, etc. It becomes very difficult to kind of understand. Now, Kurt,
well,
you had
I know this, that at least if, let's say I knew, I mean, it's difficult to know for sure if Joe was the father. I mean, you know, unless you were, I guess, there at the, you know, at the
You still couldn't know if he's the father.
Yeah, that's true. And so, at least in my opinion, you'd find out, hey, this mother who says she needs some help, you know, whether Joe's the father or not doesn't have anything to do with, are you going to help? And so then you just go ahead and help, either as an individual or as part of your church.
No, but at some point you gotta say if he is the father, then there's some way that responsibility should, or accountability for those actions should be. And the question is by who and how.
He should do it himself. He should do it himself, but it's difficult to force him. In that, you know, I mean, on the other hand, we know what we should do if we see someone in need. You know.
What if he murders the baby? Should government be involved in holding him accountable for that?
Well, that's part of that whole Ten Commandments thing, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, so is thou shalt not steal. And if he's not supporting the child, he's stealing from the wife, is he not?
Is he? Well,
don't know. The debate is how
you... That's a little harder
to... How you define how you steal.
Analyze.
But there's a headline you have before the end of the hour. Sexual relationships between inmates and prison employees are very common.
Yeah, and one of the, readers said, hey, maybe we shouldn't have women working in men's prisons, and we shouldn't have men working in women's prisons. Imagine that kind of solution, huh, Sam?
Man, then you wouldn't have all kinds of illegitimate babies to worry about taking care of, Kurt. You'd have less of them, that's for sure. There you have it. Don't know what to tell you. There are no good answers when people violate the laws of God. The only real answers are to obey the laws of God. Then things get quite simple. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.